Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 6 characters. Brandon.
I'm Ekaru Poonslay, Half-Orc Bloodhunter, level 6, aka Dark Lord.
Caleb.
I'm Kaito Itata,
level 6 Barbarian.
I'm a Construct.
I'm here at a party.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tedman. I am a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger, level 1 Rogue, and I have a Magic Owl.
Multi-classer.
Fancy.
Brayden.
I'm Brayden. I am playing Beleg Dagar, level 6 Half-Elf Warlock.
Hey, buddy. How was your sleep?
Steve, his fingers are a little more spry, a little more dexterous, and he's feeling about seven hit points heavier.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. A little weird, feeling good to the tune of like 7 more hit points. It's always nice.
I stretch and break out a little handful of gorp. Go sit out on the roof.
I'm not there, am I?
The half-orc, Ekaruk Poonslay, you are not upstairs there with the half-elf and the human. You are downstairs in the bottom floor of this hotel restaurant, the White Chain, with your companion, the living construct, Kaitoa. And he was just suggesting put a peephole in the door. Not a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but now, Rook, as you look over to him, he is motionless. He seems to have been frozen in the exact position that you last saw him in, with his hand on the back of the door, on the inside of the door here.
Belly's gonna go on the roof and try and mooch some gorp for breakfast.
Are we exactly 8 hours after the last standard session? Is that or has more time passed since then?
We are exactly 12 hours after the party returned to the White Chain for a long rest. 8 hours for a long rest for you guys, 4 hours for Kaitoa, so he can keep a watch while the three of you are sleeping, and then each of you takes, an hour and a third shift, so 9 a.m. in the morning. And Steve, you would notice no sign of Rook or Kaitoa. The door to the third floor here has been left slightly ajar. Although you do notice all of Rook's regular gear, his ox blood doublet, and his armor has been left beside his cot.
So he's naked somewhere. Where do you think they went, Steve?
Who?
Our companions. Rook and Kaitoa.
Let me find out. I'm gonna do my concentration magic on our good friend Rook.
Okay, time to locate. Your buddy is downstairs, 2 floors directly beneath you. He is seated at the bar.
Okay. Yeah, he's at the bar.
Ah, cool. Should we go down?
Yeah, mouthful of gorp. Yep.
Rawr, rawr, rawr. You should pass me some of that gorp.
Yeah, I tossed the satchel full of bits and pieces.
Thanks, buddy.
It's not as good as when we're outside of town.
That'll do. Go wash it down with a morning pint.
Yeah. Ugh. Morning pint. I believe this one's called Fat Tug.
Yeah, Brooke, you notice you have been joined by your 2 companions who are bounding down the main staircase. You are joined.
How's it going, guys?
I slept well.
Yeah, I slept like a baby.
I have all my kodamas back.
Have you guys seen my clothes?
Mm-hmm.
Can everybody make a... what would it be, like a constitution saving throw? Rook is wearing a half-orc nightie. And it is quite a thin, stained undergarment. It does not leave too much to the imagination. There's bulging.
I will do a constitution save.
Okay, constitution save. And you will roll with disadvantage because you have not had too much gorp yet.
And that strikes constitution off the list. That is a 13 for little Steve there.
Okay, you feel Steve. The gorp come up just a little bit, but it is okay. You have seen a bit more than you would have liked to. But it's fine. Your buddy, though, is the only one of your companions moving around here. Steven Bellig, as you look over at Kaitoa, he's got one hand on the door, and he's got another hand, like, clenched beneath his chest, close to his chest, and his back is turned towards the party.
Who's that?
Kaitoa. Fuck.
I'm gonna do like a wide sweep around to get a better view.
Okay. As you pivot around, this is your tin can man friend. Big, hulking, but static. Not moving.
I do a little shave and a haircut on his back.
Yeah. Well, like, you'll find only a echoing, you know, armor sound being produced from your fist rapping on his back.
Did he molt?
He is not moving, and he is not budging as you tap on him, Bellig.
Kaitoa, wake up.
I take this moment to study Kaitoa closer than I would if he was moving around hitting stuff with an axe. I want to see what makes this guy tick.
Looking in at all his armor cracks and crevices.
Yeah, like lifting plates and peering underneath and looking for some sort of mechanism. I want to see how his joints and knees are set up.
Okay, joints, knees. Well, so you stumble upon. Well, maybe roll me an investigation or perception as you paw over Kaitoa.
Oh. I can perceive the fuck out of stuff now. I do like it. So that is a 14 plus 8. That is a 22.
Okay, well, I mean, first to the obvious thing. As you look around, clenched in his hand is an object that is emitting some light, Steve. And you would notice as you go around that really the most prominent thing is he's holding something in his hand and he's looking down at it. But there is none of that Kaitoa spark, you know, in his eyes. Anyways, as you look around then, Steve, his inner workings, you do perceive those two layers of Kaitoa. But then there's his compartments, and you're not quite sure. Oh, you have stumbled across his knitting compartment. And this is interesting. It seems that as you now have kind of an interior view of part of his, like, upper outer hip or thigh, his RoboCop compartment, that his bones are made of a type of extremely dense, dark stone. So now you perceive Kaitoa as these three core materials, you know, his skeleton, his connective tissue, you know, his sinewy connective tissue, and then his outer armor plating.
Can I roll nature to see if I can figure out what the stone is?
Nature, Bellig?
Bellig is perceptive as always and rolled a 5 minus 1. 4.
Okay, well, anybody could see, regardless, that there is, and you would notice, Bellig, a frequent little orange blinking light escaping through the gaps in Kaitoa's metal fingers.
Steve's going to take one of his throwing spikes and try to leverage some space between the fingers and the whatever he's holding.
You do that. It's his mood stone.
And it's glowing? Has it always glowed?
I've never seen it glow.
I mean, me either. I would just think he's an idiot because he doesn't know what the fuck it does. What happens if did you take the mood stone away from him?
Well, I pried open. I guess I pried open the hand enough that it's available.
Yeah, although he is still not moving, his grasp has been loosened, and if you wished so, Steve, you could pick up the stone from his palm. You've definitely seen him once or twice sort of check this thing out. It's black and opalescent and sort of an oval in shape. But then, yeah, every one and then every 2 and 3 seconds, it emits a little orange flash.
I want to discern whether or not this thing is attached to him in an intrinsic way. But if he's powered down, if this is the source of his power, or if transferred his power over.
Okay, so at the moment you have not moved it from his hand?
I'm not touching it yet. I'm not quite sure of it yet.
Okay. What would you want to roll? How'd you want to do that?
I guess probably Arcana, which isn't my strong suit, but I think that's... I'm trying to see if there's any kind of magical attachment to
it. Not your strong suit, but you don't have to look at Rook's dick so you don't call him over to check the Arcana.
Yeah. I can smell his shirt from here.
And Rook, your pint glass is now empty. You have drained that sucker. And yeah, you're now without drink.
I'll be looking for another one. I'm feeling pretty somber after almost dying the other day. I mean, I'm going to walk around to the other side of the bar and fill up my pint again.
That's true. Rook, how are you feeling?
Pretty, I don't know, messed up. Trying to sort it all out. Just drowning my thoughts in my glass here.
Did you have an out-of-body experience? Did your life flash before your eyes?
It did. I saw a very young Poonchle as I almost died, and the life went out of me.
Well, good thing we showed up.
I am very thankful that you guys showed up. I'll be all right. I'm just going to finish this pint, and then I'll go put some clothes on so I don't scare the old Boy Scout Steve there.
I've seen this.
He's also seen bigger.
Haven't we all?
Did you see what Kaitoa is doing anyways? Is he this when you came down too?
No. There was a messenger that came and wanted in, but I didn't open the door because I wasn't really in the most trusting mood.
A messenger?
Yeah. And then since I wouldn't open it and I was just yelling at him through the door, he left, and Kaitoa suggested putting in a peephole, and then he was going to open up the door, and then he powered down and he's been standing like that for probably a good half an hour.
Having dreams?
Yeah.
Deep into his soul. Exactly. He's dreaming of a journey.
As you three are chatting and Rook is, catching you up on that there was a visitor at the door, Rook, you are sort of looking at Kaitoa thinking where's this big boy been?
Hey, big boy.
Hey, where is Gurm to be found?
Probably at Dorophil's.
We should send Stolas to see.
Is Stolas alive?
No.
He needs to be, resummoned, doesn't he?
About that? He's not around right now.
How you feel about that, buddy? Not that I really care, but...
He'll be back.
Nice.
He always takes time for him to rest.
I enjoy the fact that he gives me advantage sometimes. He's a wonderful combat partner.
He's a pretty good friend.
Oh.
Okay, so... Steve, what did you want to roll on that, deeper insight into what this stone's connection might be to your metal friend, living construct, Tata, Kaitoa?
I mean, I could always push for... I don't think perception's going to work for me this time. I will say either history or arcana. Maybe history. Let's do history. It's the same roll anyway.
Okay.
15 on the dot.
Oh. Well, we know multiples of fives keep a DM alive. You feel like there is not an intrinsic connection here that, you know, would be... It's not going to be severed or broken should you move that stone, but you do feel, Steve, you know they don't walk around with a power source in their hand. So this is what you glean from your further investigation into what he is holding. Does that answer the angle that you were asking along?
Yeah. So it's not like his essence is collected in this thing. And
no, Steve is assured that this is, although certainly significant to your companion, it's by no way, you know, his heart or his battery.
So, well, I'll let the fingers curl back around it. And I can hold on to it. I don't need it.
It is still blinking intermittently. It has this sort of 3 seconds off. And then it blinks a couple little orange or amber blinks. And you close his hands around it. Rook, you have gone into the back, the main kitchen there. Very large kitchen that would service this huge establishment, right? Now there are lots of tables laid out. There's been activity. And you do find that same little keg in the back. Uh-oh. It is down to the last mouthful, and as you pour it into your glass, it makes a sad kind of slosh in the bottom. And yeah, you three now. What you guys doing?
How heavy is Kaitoa?
I don't think we know, do we?
Because Belly would love to pick him up and move him into some sort of really shitty and hilarious position to wake up in.
I was thinking about doing that after my fresh pint here, but can I look around for another keg of, or cask of ale? Or is Gorva around that I can get her to go re-up?
As Rook, you look around for what might be left from... Well, now it was 2 days ago, you know, that you guys put on your little brunch with Administrator Nafri and Mayor Gently of Polb and their, like, retinue. That was it. You know, it seems like your provisions have run awful low. There's not much fresh in the kitchen in the way of drink, Rook. I mean, there's a bit of, you know, food that has been put off in the pantry, but meager supplies, Rook. You're disappointed as fuck.
And what time of day is it?
9 a.m. You guys now have been chatting for about 15-20 minutes in the bottom floor here. And remember, the bottom floor of the White Chain is all brick. There is not a single window, you know, facing the road. Because, of course, as you guys, I think maybe we mentioned once, it also has the history or the opportunity of being like a night venue. So this first floor, it's very dark, no peepholes, although you see light streaming in from the beautiful second floor windows.
And do I know when Gorva shows up?
Rook, as you wander into the front muttering, "Where's Gorva?"
Gorvas was who we burnt in Shintadu. Shorva is our employee.
Where the heck is Shorva?
Are you shit-faced on one pint?
Gorva pint.
Gorva pint.
That is Shorva, quite the breakfast.
I don't know, she should be here in an hour or two.
Okay, well, let's move Kaitoa out of the doorway, and I'll go get dressed.
Where are we going to put him?
Let's put him in the hurt locker.
I was thinking about that too, but then we got to carry him upstairs.
Well,
I think we should take him into the kitchen and put like frying pans in his hands or something like that.
As the three of you begin to discuss that, you feel in your souls a montage. And the very first thing in the montage is where you put Kai Toa. Everybody roll a d4.
That's a 1 for Beleg.
2 for Rook.
2 for Steve.
Who got the 1?
Beleg did.
Well, then, Beleg, you were taking the initiative on what college prank we have in store this time. What does Beleg, you know, incent and incense the other guys to do with Kai Toa? And we'll say you can definitely move him, all three of you. It's not easy, but you do it.
Well, we do it. And so he's got his hand up against the wall, right?
Hand against the back of the front door, right where he was when he was chatting with Rook about putting a peephole in. So he's in that position.
Oh, there's so many. Yeah, let's put him in the kitchen and put like a chef's hat on him and an apron and a whole bunch of like food prep equipment in his hands.
Let's get some frozen smelt and then just hide them in all his little RoboCop compartments.
Oh, you're such a shitty child, Tom.
Okay, so the three of you go and set Kai Toa up as a cook statue sculpture. He is there. And then you feel a montage sweeping you away as everybody roll a d4.
Oh, I did better. That's a 2 for Beleg.
3 for Rick.
3 for Steve.
Well, you guys also did just as better.
We're all getting better.
Steve, as you and Rook there, Beleg is taking way too long in the kitchen. Like, you thought you were done with this prank like 5 minutes ago, and Beleg is still there doing like silly things to Kai Toa. You hear a knock at the front door. I'm back. Where's everybody important in the city? Rook and Steve, what do you do?
That's the messenger that was here earlier.
I'm on it.
I'm going to go put my gear on if you guys want to deal with that.
Should have answered the door with your dick out.
Rook, you've taken the initiative and gone, you know, up to the door in your half-orc nightie, your under armor layer. Are you keeping shut or are you opening up the white chain? I just need to know, are you sending him away again or are you letting the messenger in?
No, I'm telling this to Steve. I'm saying that's the messenger that was here.
I'm only good at leaving doors open, not answering them.
Exactly. I don't want to deal with him. I've already dealt with him once. I'm going to go put my outfit on or my attire on for the day so that way my dick isn't hanging out as belly. So,
alright, I'm going to go answer the door.
Okay. Rook, you go upstairs to sheath your wang. And yeah. Steve, you open the door just as you see a messenger in a blue tunic, you know, turning around, and he's maybe now 40 to 50 feet away, leaving the square of your establishment. He's given up again.
Okay. I leave the door open, walk away.
All right, the three of you have now rejoined. Beleg, you finished fooling around in the kitchen. Rook, you're back downstairs. The three of you stand triumphant, you know, in the doorway of your establishment. The sun is now rising over the city.
What's the name of that store again that we were sent to? Not the Wizard and Spear, but just like the random regular shit.
Okay, Steve is thinking of...
I want to shop.
Roll, I guess, history.
History. Oh, natty 20. Yeah. I'll get right to that this time.
Party, you see Steve go like, aha,
the crossed axes facing Bergen's statue in Polb Plaza.
Crossed axes.
All right,
what do you
guys.
What do you want from the crossed axes, Steve?
Oh, stuff.
Kind of stuff. Axes.
No, I need more. Need more caltrops, ball bearings, some sort of crowbar.
You guys stuff. Also have a shit ton of like magic items to wrap up from way, way back when in the Battle of Polb Plaza.
Oh, is that in the Hurt Locker right now?
Mm-hmm. No, you Rook cleverly moved that out before you started using the Hurt Locker to store like extremely dangerous NPCs.
Very good.
And speaking of which, where is Nafri?
He's gone.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you didn't keep forgetting you didn't fight his fiend that he sent us.
No, I did not. But he's gone?
Yeah, he's probably tougher than we initially thought he was. He's going to be a bit of trouble in the future. I'm sure he'll be a boss fight at some point.
But half of his face is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Our Nafri looks more like Nafri than Nafri does.
I snap my fingers and turn into Nafri and then snap back. Ah. Or no,
but if we're going to keep
Nafri
up
and
this...
then I go melty face Nafri.
Yeah, if we're going to keep up the ploy... I don't know if he's going to show his face, to be honest, but...
I still say we should have slit his throat.
Probably would have.
In hindsight, that's looking like a big... Yeah.
Are you guys worried? Should we be trying to find him, or should we do the cross axes, or should we try to find Gurm and Dorfell?
We know they're back at the place. Go to the cross axes. We can... You know, what do we have with those magic weapons? We have to go sell them or take them to the...
Was there anything that we could have used? I can't...
There's a flail. There was... And we knew they were magical. We just didn't know their exact properties, I think.
Yeah.
So we could take those to Mem and...
maybe do a trade-up?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind winking at Leah.
Yeah, she's really pretty.
She's a half one. You know how I like to date within my own kind.
You guys would be thinking about your armor trading empire. You got like three stages of things going on. You've told Leah at the Wizard and Spear that only likes magical items, that you have a bunch of non-magical stuff and some magical stuff. Then you've also got piles of armor from two separate encounters that the meat wagoneers have cleaned off for you, and that is all stored in like a back room on your third floor. So you haven't really, you haven't done anything, but you have proposed several initiating moves into your like armor and weapon selling economy here in the city of Polb. And now it's probably drawing on about 9:30 a.m. And revelers, oh man, the Temple of Dan is popular as always. But you know, it does seem like a lot of revelers now in the Temple Quarter are bypassing the Temple of Dan and heading along to that other religious center with the bell tower.
Well, I think if we're going to do the crossed axes, I think it's going to be a pretty quick stop. So let's
trade all this regular shit in the white chain doesn't work.
I mean, with our frozen robot, we've got a lot of time to do housekeeping, so we might as well.
Yeah.
Welcome, friends, adventurers, and listeners to The Break. DM Robulon here. We had intended this episode to come out on July 1st, so apologies for the delay. We have some belated congratulations to the winners of our Dice Set and Dice Bag contest on Twitter. Congrats, Max Jacobson 12 and Matthew Raccoon. We hope these gaming accessories serve you well.
finally, a sincere thank you to our loyal listeners and fans. We will be back on our regular Wednesday weekly release schedule. And on that note, get ready for episode 15, A Call to Arms. And now, we return to Dungeons and Blaggards.
I mean, with our frozen robot, we've got a lot of time to do housekeeping, so we might as well.
Yeah. Let's head there and then circle back around. And what items did you guys want to take to the wizard and spear? He was interested in selling them any? And...
Yeah, all three of the magic items.
Well, we have that mask as well, right?
Men might be interested in that mask now because we know he's Poison Scepter.
Were we wary of him? I think I suggested that earlier, but...
No, Men's one of us.
Google gobble, Google
gobble. As you guys think back to the previous evening, well, you think about two things. One, were Mem and Leah identified as members of the Poison Scepter?
Mem was. Or at least that's, Gurm or Dorophil were like, all right, here's the full company. All the members of the Poison Scepter are present.
Oh, wow, Beleg, I will grant you inspiration.
Yes!
That is pretty much verbatim, but you do begin to wonder, what eight is he talking about? Because Leah and Mem specifically seem to exclude themselves from that number. So as you guys think about all the places you could go in Polv, I mean, boy, you really have set up several touch points here. There's the Wizard and Spear with Leah and Mem. There's the old Safe Shack with Dorophil and Mickey. And then there's Polv Plaza, where you're now aware there is a common arms merchant. Then there is also Messenger Dante, who has been foiled twice.
Stupid fucking messenger.
Where are you guys going first in your day?
I say we go... First, we should look outside to see if we can see the meat wagoneers, because we'll need their wagon to bring all of the...
To train our shit.
All the shit, because we can't carry all of the weapons and gear that we have. No. We can get them to bring us over to Crossed Axes, and then we can bring the magic stuff over to Leah and Mem. Yeah. And maybe check back in with Gurm and Dorophil after that.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I want to get, as we're doing that, make a quick stop back to the weight chain, maybe as we're picking up the stuff, and get Shorva to order up some more ale and food so we can open up this bad boy and for me to drink.
You, baby.
Well coordinated. Guys, the first scene finds you three heading out of the square over the toll bridge tower into South Polby. And guys, you are recognized as you go over toll bridge tower here. I mean, Rook, you are one of the now notable commanders of the army in the city, and you are ushered through, and you do find your wagoneers near the sausage rendering factory near the docks. You have commissioned them to go back to the White Chain, grab all your items, non-magical and magical. And where are you going first? Are you going to check magical stuff and chop it up that way, or are you going for the common merchant first?
We might have to get rid of a big chunk of...
Yeah, I agree. Common merchant first. Yeah.
Okay, and then, Rook, you would note Shorva, accompanied by Porco, and they seem to be making their way, you know, into this square that has your hotel bar establishment and the Temple of Dan, and they have tons of new kitchen equipment. Rook, as they pass you, they scurry by, and you said you would ask Shorva to like get on reordering what food and drink.
Yeah, I would like get her to order up. I'm gonna say, a fortnight's worth of ale and probably a week's worth of food.
Oh, Master Orc, Master Quartermaster, so many titles. You have remembered my goal to open for brunch in 3 weeks. Bless you. And Porco, come. We have to now make order sheets despite the food scarcity. Must open. Borky, borky, dork. And off they go.
Perfect. And now we're off to what?
Cross taxes.
Yeah, that's right. You guys are now leaving northwards into the South Main Street. And as I always got to ask, Master Bellick, any particular disguise?
I'm throwing on my nondescript human. Although, Bellick is getting increasingly more comfortable just being Bellick in the city.
Okay, but we're not, like, no tits out today.
No.
Oh.
Just wangs out.
Just wangs, just work wang everywhere.
Wangs out for Kaitoa. Morning in the city of Pold. Chickens cluck. Little piglies and piglets do their pigly things, children running, merchants, people, everybody parting way for the new heroes of Pold. Oh yeah, as you come out of the southwest entranceway here to Pold Plaza, yeah, they're all along, as you were slaughtering with glee abandon gnolls and brigands and bandits and kobolds from back satchels and all this, there was the sign of the crossed axes all along there facing the statue of Bergen, and it appears to be open.
While we pop in.
Head on in.
Okay. And this has the real sense of like a surplus store. The first thing you'd notice as the little bell chimes as you walk in is layers deep of various armor pieces and a fine layer of dust on everything. There doesn't seem to be anybody greeting you yet, you three.
Is there a bell to ring, or can I just knock on the desk?
What's on the countertop?
Yeah.
Somebody out there?
Yeah, we're looking for a few items. Can you help us?
Hello? Somebody out there?
Yeah, it's your new quartermaster. Looking for a couple items.
Okay, there are footsteps coming from the back. Oh, and here is a fellow coming out from the back. He's sort of straining to see a little bit. He's a little stooped over.
How can I help you?
And he spits onto the dusty floor.
Well, what do you have to offer?
Well, there's everything but clearance.
What clearance? What do you got?
All soldier garbage. Rusty blades. I don't sell them and a lot, so what will you buy?
How about we sell you stuff?
What am I going to do with it? I don't need it. None of this moves.
Well, if you weren't selling garbage, it probably would.
If there were wars, I'd be selling more. Why don't you go start some of those, boys?
Well, we're good at that.
Ah, I applaud you. Look at this. Dust.
I need 2 bags of ball bearings, 2 bags of caltrops. I'd like a couple candles. I want a crowbar. And a hammer. I would also like a hunting trap.
And he seems to be stumbling with a small notepad and a little purse of change.
That'll be 8, 5, crowbar? What length? Got a big mean one here. Look at, crack a skull with that. Want it?
Nope. Want a small one. Just enough to pry open a window. Well, the smallest pry bar that you have.
Oh, the whole kit and caboodle here will be 3 silver, 7 copper.
Okay. I have a gold.
Oh, change for the gold. Yes, change for the gold.
And he's making change for you, Steve. That seems thrilled.
Okay. I also need a mirror.
I don't have that.
And little clouds of dust go up as his spittle hits the ground.
We're all standing around our big collection of
armor,
right?
That's right, my lord. We have followed you here and are standing pleasantly outside with your tons and tons of quite nice armor and weapons. Have you found a fire, my liege, my lord?
We're trying to.
But try a little harder or slaughter some more people. Are you paying us for this today or what's the skinny?
We paid you enough already. We'll pay you at the end once we get this sold off.
Okay, I'll just shut up then. Tra-la-la.
Pay up for your goods and let's head back to the white chain, see if Kaito is up yet.
Yep.
Whoa, guys, as you're making plans there, the young man has given me some business. Maybe I will have a look at what's on the cart there. My eyes are a little blurry here. Somebody lead me out into the sunlight.
And Bellic, his spittle is coming awfully close to your boots.
I stand behind him so he can't spit on my boots anymore. Push him forward.
Right.
Push him to the...
As you push him forward...
Oh, this is... Oh, let me look here. Half of this is sort of trashy stuff, and there's a lot of this is soldiery. So I've hundreds and hundreds of breastplates of the soldiers of Pole. Let's see. Well, it's not bad, this stuff. Ooh, where are you taking these?
And he looks at the sort of things you've set aside to bring to your magic weapon purchasers.
Mim?
Do we know the approximate value?
No. We don't know where we're taking those ones yet, but the highest bidder will get it. What do you want for those? What will you give us for those?
I know somebody who will identify them, that's all, and it's a... tell you what. All the unimpressive stuff here, I'd give you 5 silver apiece. So you have approximately 60 items here. It's not a bad haul. Look, there's puncture holes in some of this. You wanna haul this stuff around forever?
I'm happy to sell it.
Yeah, for the unimpressive stuff, 5 silver each on the 60.
That sounds like he's lowballing, yeah, but...
That's 30 gold! I got my abacus right here, 30 gold!
How about 10 per piece? And I want to use persuasion!
Okay, as he is getting a huge wad horked up, Steve, can you roll persuasion?
This is not going to be good.
We've got a bit of gold and stuff, though. I just want to load this shit.
I'm sorry I'm not there, because, this guy's hassling us.
So for you, it's the hassle of just having all this dead soldiery armor, Rook?
Yeah, and these two guys who want to be getting paid to haul it around for us. Kind of just...
Well, really, the money's in the front end there, my half-orc lord, tra-la-la. You know, the slaughtering of the people, that's really where we build a business relationship. Yes, that's good. I don't really mind following you around in the interims between slaughter, tra-la-la.
What was that persuasion, Steve?
That was a 4.
And that hork of spittle comes flying towards you, Steve, as you muttered, what, 10
silver per piece?
Yeah.
Barter boy here. I'll tell you, how about this 6 silver apiece? Let me just get up my abacus. Oh, well, that's a bit better for you, isn't it? How about 42 gold?
Bellick's staring at Steve. Like, yeah, what Steve, the fuck is this kid doing right now? He's not about to step in and help.
Yeah. How can I do that charisma check?
Rook, I'm going to say that you have essentially already started to, move towards the front of the, you know, the cart with the two ponies with Matthias up there, the heavyset fellow.
Are we leaving, my lord? I don't think there's much business in regular armor.
Well, Steve's working on something there, so you might want to hang around. Bring the rest of it back to the wizard and spear, and we'll see what they have to say about the other stuff.
Very well, then. Let me give the ponies a carrot.
Okay, so you guys are sticking around to haggle for another sec. You've been offered a counteroffer there, and he is starting to kind of chew the inside of his lip. This bespeckled gentleman, Steve, and it looks like he's standing firm at 42 gold for this lot of battle spoils.
Tell you
just
what.
Just take it, kid.
Tell you what. Let's do 8, and we'll bring you more business in the future. You'll be our first call.
So you're going to be slaughtering more soldiers of Pole? That doesn't make sense, but
I'm going to take one of the breastplates, and I'm going to take one of my daggers, and I'm going to put it through the hole. And it'll be a perfect fit. Huh?
Oh, I see. You then are this party of adventurers. Folks, you need people to buy damaged armor to have a business for it. And I'll tell you what. Fine. 8. 8 is 60 pieces is 40. So you're up to 48 gold, boy. Turn yourself into a merchant. You have the gift of the gab.
Yes, I did it.
Bellick shakes his head.
Good job, Steve.
He is now rustling around that old, dusty leather purse that you saw him with before, this coin purse, and he does have the gold to produce, and in fact some of the gold are in ingots of 10 gold apiece. So he's actually handed you 2 gold ingots worth 10 gold each, and the rest in coinage, Steve.
Hey.
Bellick, you would of course be seeing this transfer, and then Rook, you are now obviously noting that an exchange is taking place. It looks like you guys are unloading the cart, yeah?
Yep.
Not the whole thing, though, right? Just the...
all but, like, the magical items.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you ask him what he's willing to pay on those, and whoever's the highest bidder on that's gonna get it.
Well, I might have a place for those. It might not be the highest bidder, but hey. And I'll take a little tally here.
And as they are, Tobias and Matthias are unloading all of the pieces of armor, you know, nicely wrapped together. Yeah, he's taking a quick inventory, and there he goes, all the short swords. There's some bows. There's several chain shirts. It all goes in, and your cart is now empty, guys, and awaiting direction.
All the magical stuff should be... Do we have that on us, or is it on the cart?
These 3 or 4 items that you've wrapped up, yeah, I mean, you've kept those close to you.
Okay, well, I guess, send them on their way.
Hey, I guess as they're walking off, Steve wants to ask the guy if... This guy here, if he's got, a set of these lockpicks on hand as well.
What? Oh, I don't like that sort of question. You gonna break into my store afterwards, boy?
Why would I do that?
Well, very good with haggling me down, or up rather, but I don't sell things to break into store owners. That's malicious stuff. No!
I'll put a gold on the counter. So you've never come across anything like that tucked into a pocket or a pouch?
What do you mean, like thieves? Like a lock-picking set?
Yeah, something like that.
I said no. You take that gold back. Probably stolen.
It just came out of the bag that you gave me. What does that say about you?
As far as I can tell, boy, you're a thief if you want thief's tools. I don't take with that sort of profession.
I'm not a thief yet. I need to figure out how to use them. I'm just looking for them.
All the more troublesome.
Come on, boy.
He's giving you a sort of, you know, look down the end of his nose scowl, Steve.
Does he have a spittoon on the floor? I guess he just spits everywhere. It doesn't matter.
Steve, you notice this fellow could use a spittoon. Yeah, totally. It hits the ground and little clouds of dust go up wherever his spit wads landeth.
All right, I'm going to hock a loogie on his floor before we leave.
I spit in your general direction.
As you leave, you make this parting shot. And, yeah, guys, you now see Steve, who has tarried, exit the crossed axes. Your friendly Polb Army Surplus Store.
Guy's a dick.
Most army surplus store guys are it.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
So you guys are heading back down away from the crossed axes. Really only about a half an hour has passed. So you would hear that bell that accentuates the day as it passes on in Polb. You would hear that bell for the 10 a.m. hour.
It will. I'm heading back to the weight chain to see if Kaito is up and wants to join us. That's
works for me.
Seen back.
Works for me.
I'm going to go to the kitchen where we moved him.
Sorry, Kaito all of a sudden had a brief shutdown.
Required Windows update.
Oh, we noticed.
Yeah.
Kaitoa, you feel as if you have been positioned in a strange way, and just as your eye apparatus, your optical apparati, re-engage, and you realize you're in the kitchen of the White Chain, and your three party members have just kind of burst in the front door and are approaching towards you, but it's very strange what you're wearing.
Kaitoa wakes up in a bit of a rage, like, I don't know what's going on, I don't know where I am. Flustered and frustrated.
We went shopping.
I see my party members and I just calm down instantly.
Hey, what's with the stone?
So guys, apparently the stone isn't what I remembered it to be. The stone belongs to my quest, or where I need to be. And this is a homing beacon for what I need to do, my purpose. And so often it will glow in a color that directs me towards my purpose.
What does orange mean?
Basically, green means I'm headed in the right direction, red means the wrong direction, and this is all based on a quest that I need to follow at some point in my life.
Is that what we're going to do next? Are we going to stay here? I think I'm ready to take a leave of this city.
But then I have somewhere to go. Around. Well, yeah, either we solve the whole Nafri issue or we just let the cards lie as far as the city.
We should probably finish up this Nafri situation.
Yeah. Before we leave, I think we definitely should sort this out. But yes, my stone is not a mood stone. It is a homing beacon. it's based on a dagger or like that was stolen from somewhere I need to be. If we want to follow this quest, it's this is a whole nother bag of tricks that we might need to follow. If we do follow it, it's leading us probably away from the city and a big journey.
But
it's always going to be here. This stone is always going to be glowing in this direction, so it's not immediate that we need to follow this, but there is certain times where I'm going to be torn to follow the stone.
So where are we going?
I'm just trying to figure out what we want to stick around, kill Mem.
Well, I...
Kill Mem? Why are we
kill Mem?
Kill Mem? What the fuck? What did I miss?
Kill Mem. No, sorry, I meant Nafri.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm curious about the Army of Iz.
Yeah, so that
seems to be the source
army
of a lot of our problems.
That whole army we sent away, did we hear a resolve of that?
They got fucked on the way, didn't they?
I don't know.
Of course they did.
But I'd like to go fuck up Iz.
Yeah, I could crush something with an axe right now.
You're gonna go save the day and...
I definitely could do some axe crushing and saving. Oh, shit, mama.
Oh, shit, mama.
So, Kaitoa, have you looked up and down as you tell them about your homing stone? Have you seen what you are made up as?
No, I definitely look down and then realize and do a once over.
As you notice your chef's hat and apron and the wooden spoon, and they've shoved all sorts of dish rags into your compartments, and it seems like somebody has drawn on with like ash from the stove, has drawn on like funny pictures on your face and armor.
Oh, a dick going into my mouth. What are we in wizard school?
It's not a magical dick.
Fucking animals.
Okay, party. As this is going on, you all hear a knock at the main door. The front door.
I'm back! It's Dante, the messenger!
And this time you're not alone. I mean, this time Shorva and Porco, who have been going about their work as per usual, completely ignoring the antics of the party. They now are looking at the front door. This is time number 3. You have been in the radar zone of this messenger this morning.
Shorva, and what was the woodworker's name?
Porco.
Porco, okay.
Porco. I'm right here.
Have you made an eye hole in that door yet?
Have the exact pieces. It will be done before opening Mr. Tin Man owner Boopy Dorkidoo.
Alright. Shorva,
answer that door.
Time to answer the door, Harvey. I hear that your wizard friend and his assistant were by earlier this morning when you were gone. They thought we were already open. My Brookaboo.
Who, Mem?
Yes, and the girl.
Oh no, Leo was here?
Who's at the door right now?
Hello? I'm not even supposed to be here today. It's Dante. Now I can hear you through the door. Now I can hear you.
I throw open the door, grab him, and pull him inside.
Guys! Hi, everybody. Oh, all the important people. Okay, give me a second.
I close the door behind me.
All right, Kaitoa, can you roll a strength?
16.
Okay. No. This is where you kind of want a lower score, I think, Kaitoa.
All right.
But you did crack that 15 threshold, and that means you also cracked some fingers.
Oh!
as you grab Dante and yanked him in, you clearly mangled his hand a bit. He is now kind of like sucking at his knuckle.
You fucking hand mangler.
God damn. You four, I have been looking all over. Mayor Gently's into the bottle, already out of control. Where's Nafri? I see the new quartermaster there. Hello, half-orc. Where's Flaunton? Dead. Where's the old quartermaster? I hear dead. You've emptied the city. I have all kinds of people asking me things and telling me things.
Sit down. Shorva, get this guy a futuk.
Yes? Calm the man down? What?
Get him a drink.
Oh, let's... Oh, it's empty. Somebody's had the last warm draft.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
All right. Well...
Look, I need to know if you have heard about the mysterious exit from the city yesterday after this mad slaughter at the quartermaster's barracks, I hear. I don't even need to ask. I know you're involved.
What exit?
Well, all these witnesses from the North Shore docks claiming they saw departing a strange little ship. With lots of little oars paddling northwards, and then a very, very strange account. Differing accounts. Sounds like sorcery.
What?
Oh, where's that drink? Ow, look at my hand, man.
Shorva, give me some liquor. Give this man a drink.
Look at this. You guys do notice that huge bar front, right? This break front that could hold every conceivable liqueur from all the races and cultures and ethnic subgroups in Beharu and the continents. It is empty. I mean, this vast downstairs food and drink establishment, guys, is still mostly empty. Fuck. You've really only started.
Oh, fuck. If only one of us had prestidigitation and could make a glass of water seem like some booze.
Yeah. No doubt.
She is ordering more. Here today.
Well, that's not going to help now. Look, that's not good. Nafri's nowhere to be seen. Nobody dare enter his chambers for fear of some horrors that we've heard tell of after yesterday's events.
We can make Nafri appear.
What?
We can find Nafri. Don't worry.
I think he's just upstairs.
I don't want to find Nafri. The guy's a fucking douchebag. And it seems like you guys have cleared out a lot of douchebaggery. This is not a bad thing.
Yeah, but we can replace him very easily.
Something needs to be replaced here in terms of manpower, too. Sergeant Sandrid sends no message. I have not heard anything from the new quartermaster. Hi, half-orc. I'm sure you're doing a great job, but what is going on? There's only one man for every tower on the walls. The city has been emptied. You guys have killed everybody in the quartermaster's barracks, including the fucking head archer. Everybody's gone. Just the castle guard.
Yeah, they all tried to kill me. That's why you got hurt.
Oh, that's how every story starts. What about today? And he now looks down at his hand. You know, he's kind of sucking at his knuckles a little bit.
Can I backhand him and say, get a grip, man?
Oh, yeah. Roll a slap d4.
Yeah. Pull it together, man. And it's going to be 2.
Come on.
Anything below 2, 2 or below deals no damage and has the intended effect. 3 or more deals whatever damage you rolled. So, again, a safe, what would you say, open palm, backhand, what are we doing here?
Be backhand, and I'll say, pull it together, man.
Whew, the hospitality is much different than I would have liked here. I just need messages. 1. For the castle warden, what is she to do? The city is unmanned. 2. What of
the army sent towards is. I have heard nothing, and nor has anybody. 3. Where is Nafri? For the mayor grows drunk and impatient.
First of all, tell the tell her to man up the city. Call them in and get them on the towers that they need, and I will address it later.
Yes, my lord. That's fair enough. I will go back and say to hold the city with what people we have. Yes, sir. Next.
No. Get more.
In the draft.
Get more.
Propose a draft. Very well. How will you structure it, Quartermaster Poonsley?
Anybody that's 16 and older.
Perhaps they would rally to you with your background of Haunted One, where commoners rally to your cause.
Then tell them that is my command, and I will address them.
And how shall I address them, Master Poonsley? As the quartermaster and the son of the king and the heir to the realms of the north?
Fuck.
Just the quartermaster.
Rooks are Daenerys.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Very well then. As Dante looks round and you guys are making, you know, thematic music and all kind of backslapping Rook, Dante has heard, though, don't proclaim you as anything more than new half-orc quartermaster.
Let's put a minimum age there, too.
I stand up and say, yeah, put every man under 30 and with good eyesight on the wall.
He looks to have a soldier's background, your general construct here. Well, I'll tell you the main problem, folks. You guys dispatched an army of 400 people to a city that's several days' march away, and, you know, famine and all this. Guys, there's nothing left to draw from the well to incent these people. We can motivate people to stand on the wall, but all I have is weak, thin pottage to feed them. The city has run dry.
Steve, can you forage for a city of like 3,000?
Just a montage of Steve out in the forest,
just
killing squirrels and
gorfing it,
collecting mushrooms
all day long.
We can go down to Iz and solve this problem before they're out of a week's worth of provisions.
Yeah.
Then we've got 400 people back here, and everything is good as right as rain.
Yeah.
Defending the town, right?
Yeah. In the meantime, just a call to arms, and I guess we gotta. You gotta make a speech, pretty much. Like, this is what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Well, that is where we will have to leave you all until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.
Oh, yeah.